In the Middle Ages, a woman newly arrived in Paris described the city as a barbarous country where the houses are gloomy, the churches ugly, and the customs revolting. For most of its history, Paris has not been the city of light that foreigners the world over like to dream about, but that knowledge has not stopped historian Alistair Horne from falling in love with it. Horne has written a sort of biography of the city called Seven Ages of Paris, and he joins us now from the NPR Bureau in New York. Mr. Horne, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Well, the lady you quoted, I think, was called Anne of Kiev. She came from darkest Russia. So to make a comment like that about Paris, by comparison with Russia in the 10th century, you could imagine what Paris was like.
Not very promising. I have to begin by confessing that I've never been to Paris. Can you just give me an idea what I've missed?
Well, the thing about Paris is that it was the Seine, really, the River Seine, which was for centuries the sort of main, one of the main thoroughfares of Europe. And the Romans set up life there on the, what's now known as Ile de la Cité, which was a small defensible hideout in a very inhospitable part of the world. And Paris has always been a city very difficult to defend, unlike New York or London. That sense of precariousness has remained through Paris, and particularly in the mentality of the Parisians, I think all through history.
I want to bring in another description from your book of Paris in its early days. This is from the Middle Ages. I wonder if
yes.
I could ask you to read a paragraph from your book on page 31.
Philippe Bourgasses went to the window of his palace on the Ile de la Cité to admire the Seine, but the stench that greeted him as a heavy wagon stirred up the mud on the street outside made him reel back again. Pigs had been banned from Paris ever since the Crown Prince, Philip's uncle, had been killed by one frightening his horse, but the law had provided all but unenforceable. In a medieval Europe, accustomed to evil-smelling streets, Paris had prize-winning qualities that were to endure right through the ages. The streets were simply open sewers, hence the names given to some of them, Rue, Merderel, Tirpet, Fosse aux Chiens. These are all unprintable French translations.
You could not translate those on the radio.
I don't think so. And so on. And each rainfall turned these streets into a mud enriched by the droppings of horses and domestic animals, the waste from the tanneries and butcheries, and of the residents themselves in houses quite innocent of any plumbing. And there were the forbidden swine to root through it all and churn it all up. Thus, as a consequence of his shock on opening the window on the Quai de l'Horloge in the middle of his capital, young Philippe ordered all streets to be paved. Well, it was a start and a slow start, but it took many centuries to master the problem.
Sounds like a great tourist destination. I can't wait to go.
Well, it's changed a bit since then.
In addition to being a squalid city for much of its history, this has been a violent city, hasn't it?
Well, very violent, very violent. One of the things that fascinates me about Paris is you can never be bored. There's always something happening, even though it can be violent. And the history of Paris is one of sort of great ups and downs. You have the pursuit on the one hand of authority, and on the other hand, the bottom of the scale, revolt against authority. But always swings in moods, and of course the worst thing to any Frenchman is boredom. Paris s'ennuie, Paris is bored. It was usually a sort of preface to some kind of revolt or other.
You write very early on in the book that Paris is, in your view, a sexy and beautiful, but also turbulent, troublesome, and excessively violent woman.
Well, I hope that's not politically incorrect to perhaps sound rather sexist in
New York. Of course it is, but it's fine. Please, go right ahead.
But I stick by that absolutely unhesitating. Yes, I mean, does anybody doubt that Paris is a woman? I think London is a man, is male. Never quite sure about New York. It seems to have both assets of plus and minus, male and female. Perhaps not entirely sure itself. But Paris is definitely a woman.
Why?
And I think it is just designed for the pleasure of women. And what is fascinating is that I think the moods of Paris are very much more feminine than masculine. The swings of mood from the sweet, beautiful, adorable Paris to the violent, turbulent fiend.
When you say it's designed for a woman, do you mean the way the city is laid out? Do you mean the cafes? Do you mean the Eiffel Tower? What do you mean?
I mean all that, yes. I think the Eiffel Tower, well, the Eiffel Tower is pretty masculine. I think the layout is all designed to, I wish my wife was here, she'd say this, do this much better than I can, but it is designed to charm a woman's heart. After all, it is, and always has been, the center of couturier industry. It's been the great love songs, the singers of love songs, like Trenet, Charles Trenet, Edith Piaf. Where do they come from? Paris.
And now it's, if you go around the city of Paris, it's a very organized city. The buildings match, the cornice works match. It's a kind of a Martha Stewart kind of city in places.
Well, it is a fabulously organized city from an architectural point of view. And every time I go to Paris, I find something that strikes me. For instance, a little shaft of light coming across a square, the Place Saint-Sulpice, in an October evening, hitting the stonework of what is actually not an altogether pleasing church. But that's the kind of thing that somehow you feel Paris has always been called the City of Light, that it's designed around light. It's designed on how light reflects the buildings. And then you get the Seine itself has an extraordinary sparkle. You only have to look at the paintings of Monet and Renoir to see that it has a sparkle which the Hudson River and the Thames completely lack.
Alistair Horn has written a selective biography of the city of Paris called Seven Ages of Paris. Mr. Horn, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.